Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:45 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is January 30th. You're going to see in comment of the day today the announcement that David passed away on the 15th. I know that it's been 2 weeks since the event, and the family and I decided that it would be appropriate to withhold the information so that everyone could have some time to process the news, and also to have funeral arrangements made so that everyone would be we would be able to give the same information to everyone at the same time. There will certainly be a memorial service for David in London, probably around the time of a chart seminar, considering that this is the 50th year of the chart seminar, and it really is his opus magnus. So that's certainly something that we'll look forward to. His loss is it is an enormous event, both for me personally, for the service, for his family, and obviously for our long-time subscribers. His impact on the field of technical analysis, behavioral analysis, and the fact that I've always found it puzzling that some people get Nobel Prizes for things that other people have been pioneering for quite a bit longer, but that's another point entirely. David was a pioneer in terms of the development of technical analysis and the behavioral attitude to markets. He led by example, and he never thought of doing anything other than serving our subscribers in the best way possible. It was his vocation to pursue this service, and I have every intention of picking up where he has left it off, and persisting indefinitely. Well, I didn't post any other written commentary in here today because I thought that I just simply wanted to write a note to inform you all of what has happened, but I didn't want to leave subscribers with no commentary for the day. And today was a particularly momentous event in terms of what's been going on in markets, so here we go. Well, 10-year treasuries have bounced rather impressively now from this 121 area. There was obviously a clear area of resistance at that level all the way through until December, and now it's an area of support. So we have clear evidence here of past resistance becoming future support or present support. The Federal Reserve today did not raise rates, and it is unlikely they're going to raise rates. They have also said that they're going to be flexible on what they do with the balance sheet. So when they say that they are responding to data, they have certainly been paying attention to what has been going on in the stock market. Of course, the other side of that equation is that stock market investors have been rather short on details about whether there is in fact a Powell put, and now they know the answer. There is definitely a Powell put, and that suggests that there has been no change at the Federal Reserve. There is simply a new person at the helm, and that is a rather important conclusion that the markets have reached. So there is little prospect of a rate hike. There may even be rate cuts in the future. There is certainly the prospect that the Federal Reserve will begin to moderate the pace with which they are removing liquidity from the market. But perhaps even more important than that, it's that when we come to the next economic contraction, whenever that is going to be, I think we can have confidence that the Federal Reserve is going to deploy any and all tools necessary to arrest a decline. That is going to include expanding the balance sheet again, removing or reducing interest rates, and potentially embarking upon even more extraordinary monetary stimuli. So that, I think, is now beginning to be priced into bond markets. The the 10-year Treasury future is breaking its succession of lower rally highs since the beginning of this year, if this is a bullish chart pattern. By the same token, when we look at what's going on in Wall Street, it's exactly the same. The Dow Jones has rallied today by about 400 points, and it is back above that 25,000 level. So it's extending this rebound. Now, there is still a sequence of lower rally highs, and there is a short-term overbought condition, but it is now back above the trend mean, and that is at least a necessary condition if we're going to be back in recovery zones. The best case scenario is that any consolidation that occurs above the trend mean. You can't really have a downtrend if you have the price trading above the trend mean. When we look at the NASDAQ, then it has also rallied in here today. It has unwound just about all of its overextension relative to the trend mean. It hasn't quite yet been able to sustain a move back above it. Today was a rather important day for Apple. They've had their first disappointing holiday season in quite a long time, and they are moving progressively more towards a subscription-based business model. When we look at Apple in terms of the weekly basis, the fact that they are moving towards a subscription business model, if it is going to follow the kind of format that we've seen from other companies, then what we could anticipate is that there will be a bedding in period. And certainly we saw that, for example, with Autodesk. But subsequently, then the price tends to start trending higher once more. And we have had a meaningful pullback on Apple, and this is not the first time. What has characterized the previous pullbacks is that when we do get a low, it has generally held. So now this breakout that we've seen in here today has at least broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It is a low of at least near-term significance, and as long as the early January nadir holds, then we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to higher to lateral ranging. And I think it's also worth keeping an eye on Facebook, because it peaked first, and then it also had a very deep pullback, but it has rallied to break its sequence of lower rally highs, and it was in positive territory in here as well today. And Google, which had come back to test the $1,000 level and bounced, has been really rather steady and is also right in the region of the trend mean. So we have some significant companies that do have the potential to sway investor sentiment by their performance at rather important levels. And with the prospect of somewhat easier monetary conditions going forward, that's a positive. Of course, if the Federal Reserve is going to stop raising interest rates and is going to arrest the decline in the size of its balance sheet, that removes one of the clearest bullish characteristics for the dollar. When they were reducing the size of the balance sheet, that was reducing the quantity of dollars in existence, and therefore it was a supply inelasticity environment. But if they are stopping removing those dollars from the system, well then there's the potential that the dollar can weaken from here. And the euro was stronger today by about 46 ticks, and it has held a sequence of higher reaction lows. It hasn't quite yet been able to break up and out of this range, but if it can sustain a move above the trend mean, then that will certainly have broken the dollar's advance. When we look at, for example, the pound, having been rather volatile yesterday, it has bounced from the region of the trend mean in here today, and that's despite the fact that Theresa May is going to be going back to Brussels to try and negotiate a deal that the Europeans have no intention of renegotiating. Well, what that suggests is that there's going to be a lot of back and forth in terms of the brinksmanship that's likely to, or I think we can anticipate a great deal of brinksmanship between the US, the UK, and the European Union as we count down towards the March deadline for Brexit. The only way that the UK is going to get what it wants is to credibly threaten that they're going to leave without a deal. So far, Europe hasn't felt under any pressure because they didn't really believe that the UK would do that. Well, the essence of all deal making is that you have to be willing to walk away. And more importantly, this the person who's trying to sell you something has to believe that you're willing to walk away. And I think finally, the UK is beginning to come to that realization. So, in fact, while some people are saying that this, in fact, increases the potential that the UK will leave without a deal, I think it's probably more likely now that they will have a deal because it's going to introduce that uncertainty, which will start to bring people to the table with a willingness to ensure that the worst case scenario does not come to pass, at least the worst case scenario from their particular perspective does not come to pass. What I found particularly interesting, though, is the strength today of the commodity currencies. And the Australian dollar was up by 90 ticks. And it is coming right back up to test the region of the trend mean. And it has rebounded really rather impressively following that flash deterioration right at the beginning of the year. That really did help to flush out some of the weaker holders, and the price has done nothing but go higher since then. It's a very similar situation with the Canadian dollar, and the loonie has now come right back to test the dollar's sequence of higher reaction lows, and it's testing the region of the trend mean. Then, if we look at the South African rand, it has strengthened through its 200-day moving average, so that's the strongest we've seen in at least 6 months, but more importantly, it has broken the dollar sequence of higher reaction lows. And when we look at the Brazilian real, then it is also strengthening in here, and importantly, is also below the trend, or the it's stronger than the trend mean, and threatening the dollar's dominance. So these are important developments from the perspective of commodity producers. And also commodity consumers like China, where the renminbi has strengthened through the region of the trend mean. This is a significant deterioration in terms of the dollar's dominance. It rather begins to suggest that the Chinese are, or at least investors, are beginning to price in the potential that there is going to be a trade negotiation conclusion that is reasonably positive between the USA and China. If the renminbi were to start weakening again through the 6.8 level, then that would reverse that potential outcome. If the dollar is weakening, then generally speaking, that's positive for commodities and most particularly gold. And gold prices were up by $6 in here today and pushing back up towards the upper side of this medium-term range. Well, this still looks like a consistent advance, and there is the realistic possibility here. One of the things that Jay Powell talked about, in fact, was that now is the time that the US government should start thinking about the massive deficits it's running. Unfortunately, there's very little chance of that. There is an enormous amount of debt that needs to be refinanced this year. There is going to be an ongoing debt requirement as a result of the deficits that are being run, and there's no appetite to tackle the problem. This is really very similar to the kinds of conditions that we saw nearly a decade ago when people started to be worried about the way that currencies were being debased against a background where demand from emerging markets was starting to manifest itself. the weakness of the dollar is a significant factor in helping to inflate asset prices in US dollar terms. But perhaps some of the Australian gold miners, which have been doing spectacularly well, they're probably going to endure some something of a headwind from the strength of the Aussie dollar. And Evolution Mining, for example, is really quite overextended relative to the trend mean at the present moment, as it hit a new all-time high yesterday. Then, if we look at the oil price, well, it has also been somewhat steadier in here, and it came from the lower side of the short-term range back to the upper side of that range. It has broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and it is now unwinding the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. This looks like a low of at least near-term significance, potentially even medium-term significance. If we continue to see that this rally holds and it can break up and out of this range, then that would be really very positive indeed. The depth of the decline, meanwhile, does suggest that it would be rather unusual to see prices rally meaningfully above $80. The more likely scenario with oil, I suspect, is that we are going to be in for a very choppy environment for the foreseeable future. Now, when we look at what's going on in terms of the industrial resources, copper was stronger in here today by approximately 5 cents, and it is pushing back up towards the upper side of this range. Earnings in China today were coming in really rather disappointingly, and that weighed on the stock market. Alibaba was the clear exception, and certainly the technology shares have been doing better. Alibaba has now pushed back above the trend mean. When we look at, for example, Tencent, then that has also broken its downtrend, and it was in positive territory again today, and it is also now above its trend mean. So these are positive developments from the technology sector, but the resources sector has not been doing so well, and the domestic economy has been continuing to slow. Housing starts in China are starting to turn around. They've been contracting for over a year, but they are now positive on comparative basis. What that suggests is that that China has got ample evidence against which to make the conclusion that they have done enough in terms of squeezing out the shadow banking sector. And with the domestic economy slowing, they do have the rationale that they can start to stimulate again. And I think that that is what we're starting to see, that both the strength of the renminbi, the weakness of the dollar, the relative strength we're starting to see in the industrial resources. Nickel in particular is noteworthy, considering that it has been up on consecutive days and is now above its trend mean. These are all starting to suggest that a greater Chinese stimulus is likely, and that that would help to stimulate demand for the resources sector. What we've also started to see is that shares like Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton have been firming up. They have some of the more attractive dividends, and that they have come through this period of underperformance in the resources sector in pretty robust fashion, and now they're turning back to positions of outperformance. If we were to look at, for example, the mining index for the FTSE 350, then it is back above the trend mean and really starting to look more favorable, having broken the downward bias since the peak in the second quarter of last year. If we look at the Australian resources sector, and then we also have this back above the trend mean and rallying impressively. So we now have a failed downside break. Generally speaking, a failed downside break will, especially when the dynamic of the failure is larger than the dynamic of the breakdown, we would see it go back up and test the upper side of the range, and that looks really quite likely with this index. generally speaking, when we see that resources and other cyclical sectors are doing well, and then that is further evidence we are in the latter stages of this bull market. And generally speaking, it is the cyclical shares tend to do best in the latter stages of a bull market. And with this return to outperformance and the fact that the Federal Reserve is no longer on a tightening bias, that has the potential to add some additional legs to this bull before we eventually hit the end of this economic expansion. So there is certainly an argument right now that we are back in a risk-on environment, and that there is potential here for additional upside, that we have had a substantial number of rather large declines. There are still oversold conditions, and that there is scope here for an additional rally. That's also, I think, relevant when we think about the size of the central bank balance sheets, that the ECB has not stopped buying bonds. The Italian economy is now in a recession, so that increases the potential that they're going to need some form of assistance from the EU. And German economic activity has also been moderating, and they just about squeezed past without getting a recession in the fourth quarter. But the European economy is definitely slowing. That suggests they are going to need some form of assistance. That's probably going to have both fiscal and monetary characteristics. So when we start to look around the world, the tightening bias that has been evident for the last couple of years is starting to turn around. And that answers the big question that has been outstanding. Where was the next source of liquidity going to come from? Well, we are, I think, in the throes of seeing the answer to that question today. So that is likely to help to inflate asset prices once more. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. And I'll wish all the best to all of you. I'll certainly leave you, I think, maybe with one more thought, that it was certainly David's fondest wish that this service persist, and it's a vocation for both of us. We both enormously enjoy producing this service, so I think that it has enabled it to sustain for as long as it has, and I'm very much committed to continuing it.